One, two, three.
Good morning, Pine Street Church members and friends. Grace and peace and love from my home to yours. Welcome to Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition, week 20, I believe, of being the church scattered since we cannot be the church gathered at this time. I hope that you are staying safe and healthy and well, you and your family, during these exceptional days. And I'm so grateful that we get to experience worship together even in this way. We start today's service, and let's do so with this prayer of invocation. O God, open our eyes to see things we have not been seeing, and open our ears to hear things we have not been hearing, and open our arms to embrace your good presence with one another and in this time of worship. May you motivate us and inspire us and help us to give back what you so generously give to us, heart, soul, and body. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Almost everyone has a storm story to tell. I have one. It was the summer of 1986. Gas was 82 cents a gallon. My favorite country music singer, Randy Travis, had just released his first album, Storms of Life. The Celtics had just won the NBA title. I was 8 years old, and my Aunt Bonnie had planned a day of fun with her favorite nephew. We packed up a McDonald's Happy Meal. I was busy collecting all 5 or 9 of the Muppet Baby action figures. That's right. A happy meal for a happy day. We drove to the Cumberland Mountain State Park, where we rented a metal paddle boat and headed to the other side of the lake. Now, not even the biggest binoculars on the bluest day could I have seen this coming. Right in the middle of our happy-go-lucky day appeared a violent thunderstorm. Clouds gathered and we paddled as fast as we could, being right in the middle of the lake as we raced the storm back to the dock. Thing is, we lost. And I figured our metal paddle boat was a bullseye for the lightning rods that were just sure to zap us. The rains came, the thunder roared, and I blame my Aunt Bonnie for all of it. Why did you drag me out here? Are you trying to get us killed? And while I was busy screaming at my Aunt Bonnie, I stopped paddling the boat. She looked me in the eyes and said, "If you're not going to help me paddle this boat, then shut up and start praying." "Oh, dear Heavenly Father," I begged. So she paddled and I prayed our way through the storm. I threw quite a red-headed temper tantrum that day, and you know, here was someone that I loved deeply and I trusted with all my heart, who had done nothing but love me back, and I accused her of being careless, reckless, negligent. Out of my fear, of course. I've thought about this story a lot over the years, and I've found some sympathy for those scared disciples on the open sea that we hear about in today's gospel. This was not their maiden voyage by any stretch, and after all, some of these guys had been professional fishermen. They had seen these types of storms before, but who's not going to be scared when hurricane-force winds are tearing the sails, water is filling the boat, and the only one who could do anything about it is snoring in the stern? Jesus and company had been doing ministry all day, and according to one gospel or another, you got to remember, Jesus had been telling stories about sowers and seeds and lamps and lampstands, doing his kind of, you know, theology for dummies routine in the first century. Now it was getting late, and I imagine the patience was running thin. The disciples threw quite a temper tantrum too. No doubt anxieties and adrenaline were running high. They were exhausted from all they had been doing, feeding the 5,000, you remember, recently in the Gospels, doing all they could to help the Jesus moment become a Jesus movement. And they did, in today's reading, what most anybody would do at a time like this: they panicked. And like St. Paul, who airs out some of his own storm stories in 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, these disciples endured a sleepless night too. The text says, when evening had come, they crossed over to the other side. But they were trapped in a storm cell. And there they were, windblown and waterlogged and sleep-deprived, a storm that kept them up. And notice the time of day: at night. I just ask, have you had any sleepless nights lately? Too much coffee, a Colorado thunderstorm maybe, anxiety and worry about health, or the social and political upheaval going on in our country, or wondering how you might pay down your debts or figure out how much more to give to the church? See what I did there, right? All kinds of things keep us up at night, leaving us wondering if Jesus has gone to sleep on us. So you get up, you go to the kitchen, you turn on the lights, you maybe fire up your smartphone, or you throw on Netflix to decide on the next show to binge watch, because we know all too well that riding in the eye of a hurricane is more than just a boat ride on a stormy day. For some of us, storm stories don't have anything to do with the weather. Doppler radars and 10-day forecasts may tell us to bring an umbrella, evacuate a city, or take cover, but they aren't much help when the test results come back positive, or the relationship is on the rocks, or when the storms we feel are inside of us rather than around us. And to say Jesus calmed this storm on the Sea of Galilee doesn't give us much comfort until we come to know that Jesus has the power to calm the storms of our own very real 21st century lives. Today's text says, when evening came, when it's night, when everything has been done with the day, there's a sense in which we don't want to be alone. Alone in our worries, alone in our anxieties, alone in our emotional storms. When evening comes, it's harder to cook dinner for only one. When evening comes, it's hard to go to sleep when your spouse is sick. When evening comes, the lights go down on our days. It's hard to see what's good sometimes. It's hard to feel hope in our hearts. A friend of mine once said, "Nothing looks good at 3 a.m. The nighttime can be lonely. An old college colleague and friend of mine, Andy Gullihorn, wrote a song one time about a couple having relationship problems. The wife couldn't sleep at night, and she felt the pain of distance, even though her husband lay in the bed beside her. The lyrics are full of longing. It goes like this: "Wake up and tell me you love me. Wake up and hold me close. You seem to be sleeping whenever I need you most. Wake up and say that you need me. Wake up, tell me I'm worth your time, because I don't want to be alone again tonight." Dark nights of the soul come in many shades of gray. And sometimes it's more than just sleepless nights. Some of you know what it's really like to want to sleep through the day in your ocean of sheets and pillows. It's almost impossible for you to imagine light when you just feel like you're in a gray fog all the time. It's a kind of spiritual hurricane of the mind and soul. It's a kind of chaos we try to control like disciples in a sinking boat. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And especially during this global pandemic, when mental health has risen to the top of the list of what things people struggle with, you think about depression. That could be an emotional illness that we might call a storm too. A storm we work so hard to fight until finally we have to give up and go wake up Jesus in one way or another. Depression can rock your boat and wreck your nerves, but we try to keep it together, right? Well, because we have to at some level. We try to manage it, so we eat more, or we drink more, or we sleep more. And you go through the motions, and it's like nobody's looking, and sometimes not even God, that maybe even God has gone to sleep on you. And there are some people who suffer silently with depression or anxiety or other mental maladies. You struggle to keep it together on those days. You feel like you've slowly floated far out to sea. The wind is whipping your boat and the oars are about to snap. It reminds me of the opening verses of the Bible. It says this: "Now the earth was a formless void. There was darkness over the deep, and God's Spirit hovered over the water." This verse describes a present state of affairs, not only a past event of God at creation. And when you and I open up to God and other people about our Mississippi River of anxieties and sins and wounds and worries, we begin to let the Spirit of God hover over the chaos and darkness of our being. That's part of the point of what community means, the gift of community, that you don't have to go it alone. You are not all alone. You're not by yourself, as much as it must feel like it sometimes. The truth of the gospel, the truth of what we see in the New Testament of people's storm stories, we do not have to hide our inner chaos from God or from others that we love and trust. And we're often conditioned and trained to say what we feel, or trained and conditioned that we think it's wrong to really say what we feel, because we don't want to be self-loathing. We want to put our best foot forward. We don't want to have to worry about what someone else is thinking of us. Image management, you know. But to express our feelings and thoughts freely before God, just as Jesus was and just as we are, is to trust that God is big enough to take our tantrums. God is big enough and loving enough and gracious enough to hold our emotional storms with us when we are riding through that kind of chaos. Those tantrums, what really amounts to is just being honest, being fully human. But those emotional storms tend to be over lesser matters too, like technical difficulties that get in the way of our happiness, our contentment, car problems, a computer crash, a crashing financial market, these days not being able to hug your friends or figuring out how to work and be a homeschool parent at the same time. Hello out there. All of these things add up, even when you think nothing adds up. To quote the late great psychiatrist Carl Rogers, it's like being nibbled to death by ducks, you know? And it's easy to feel that right now in the atmosphere in which you and I live, right? That, well, when it rains, it pours kind of thing. And we live in a time of so many unknowns. Unemployment and food insecurity impacting our fellow brothers and sisters and citizens. And it's easy to feel weary and scared sometimes, wondering how in the hell we will weather the COVID-19 storm. Social isolation, a steady stream of breaking news, isn't everything breaking news? And a sense of how little control we have over a lot. Where can we find what is sturdy and steady in a time when we're living in a tsunami of scarcity, and a hurricane of political hysteria and one pandemic storm like nothing we've known for 102 years, and a racial pandemic storm we've tragically known forever? The essayist and novelist and a man who always reflected on his experience as a black man in white America, James Baldwin, by the way, he would have turned 96 years old this past week, he once said, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced." Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And here we are, facing a forecast of so many unknowns due to COVID-19, facing the social and political upheaval we find ourselves in, but we are facing responsibilities as a church, as individuals, of being community together, of finding ways to stay connected, of being the church. I'll say it again, being the church scattered when we can't be the church gathered. Whatever it is we face, whatever storm stories we find ourselves in, what we can do is to encourage our prayers for one another, to encourage one another to learn, to take action where we can in the world that so desperately needs the hands and face and heart and feet of Jesus to be true and alive in a real human way. And it's true that Jesus does not always make our circumstances easy. But there is a power with Jesus that can help us rest easy in the middle of it all. The miracle of it all is that Jesus was sleeping through the storm. The miracle of it all is that he was snoring in that stern. And that, to me, is not a picture of irresponsibility or uncaring. It is a picture and an image of peace. Jesus asleep on the feather pillow is not a case of negligence or uncaring. It is a case of someone who is serene, at peace inside his own skin, a paragon of trust. That, my friends, is grace. Because you and I are prone to panic, sometimes at least. Others of us, many times or most of the time. We're panic people. We react to circumstances. It is so easy to throw up our hands and say, oh, well, when it rains, it pours. Or that feeling of like, I am drowning in what's going on. And we cannot stormproof our lives any more than we can control the path of a hurricane. But we can bank on some things God is always saying to you and me. And one of them is the constant whisper, peace. Be still. Peace. Sit still. Into the nonsense and the chaos and the downpours of our lives, God still speaks. Be courageous. Be courageous. Let's go on to the other side. You don't have to live afraid. Peace. Be still. The power of God's love is a power that opposes the forces of chaos that would drown out peace with fear. And so today, in your world full of maybe, some of you, sleepless nights over things you cannot control, the question for you and for me today is, can we trust the one who puts a hand on our shoulders and says and asks, why are you afraid? What is making you afraid today? It is a voice that bids us to go across to the other side, to cross from the bank of fear to the bank of peace, from the bank of anxiety to the bank of tranquility. And whether it's the Sea of Galilee or the Boulder Reservoir or a storm surge in your life, whatever that might look like these days, the miracle happens to us when we come to know the kind of peace that kept Jesus sleeping through the storm. Every once and so often, when it's least expected, we can feel a wave of peace wash over us. Sometimes it is a profound gratitude that we can't find words to explain. It can surprise you suddenly while you are driving in your car. It can wash over you when you're Zooming with your kids or grandkids, or you're having your morning coffee in the kitchen, or an evening bike ride at sunset, or reading a book that you're infatuated with, or a scene of your favorite show when it makes you laugh or brings you to tears. And you can see it from a poet's point of view, like today's verse from David White that you heard earlier. When we finally step out of the boat toward them being the people we trust. When we finally step out of the boat toward them, we find everything holds us and everything confirms our courage. And if you wanted to drown, you could, but you don't. Because finally, after all this struggle and all these years, you simply don't want to anymore. You've simply had enough of drowning. And you want to live and you want to love, and you will walk across any territory and any darkness, however fluid and however dangerous, to take the one hand you know belongs in yours. Amen.
My Lord.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition. I hope that this has been a meaningful time of worship and reflection and inspiration for you today. If you're looking for ways to connect in the life of our congregation, we have Art Brunch on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m., led by Waverly Matthews. We have Tuesday mornings, our men's coffee group meets via Zoom. Also on Thursdays at 1:30 p.m., our Oasis Women's Study Group, they are meeting then via Zoom. They're also reading this book, So You Want to Talk About Race, by Ijeoma Aluo. And so I invite you to be part of that. It's an open group, so if you wish to take a next step in education and reflection about anti-racism, this is a great way to start with So You Want to Talk About Race. Speaking of race, we're going to be stepping into the fall with a few different opportunities for you to engage. We'll be announcing some online small groups in the next few weeks for you to register for and be ready for in the fall. We also have a few things put on the calendar. Number one is Wednesday, August 26th at 6:30 p.m. We'll be convening a conversation, informal conversation around race built around two articles that is in your Pine Street Post. You can take a look at that. And also on September 13, Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., we'll be joining with our friends from St. John's Episcopal Church to talk about the documentary, I Am Not Your Negro, which is based on an unfinished manuscript by James Baldwin, who I mentioned today in the sermon. We're looking for ways to connect with our friends at St. John's, and this is one of the ways we will. And then on Sunday, September 20 at 4 p.m., we will be starting a Zoom speaker series built around anti-racism and race relations and finding ways in which we can expose our hidden biases in terms of white supremacy and white privilege. And so those are three dates to mark on your calendar: Wednesday night, August 26 at 6:30 p.m., Sunday, September 13 at 4 p.m. for the movie discussion, which you can find I Am Not Your Negro based through Amazon if you wish to go ahead and get started with that. We're all going to watch that on our own and then join together on September 13 at 4 p.m. with our friends at St. John's to discuss that documentary. And then September 20 at 4 p.m. we'll begin our Zoom speaker series, and we'll make those announcements in our Pine Street Post. I hope that, again, you're staying well and safe. I know that we miss one another. We wish that we could just give each other one big group hug. That would not be smart in these days. So thank you for continuing to be faithful in worship in this format at Home Edition with Pine Street Church. Well, as you go out into your day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God grant you the grace never to sell yourself short, the grace to risk something big for something good, the grace to know that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. And so may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand.